What's up, everybody? This is episode 5 of the Beats and Coffee podcast. If this is your first time listening, this is kind of my chance once a week to sit down with a cup of coffee and talk about the world of selling beats online. I just got off from a long, stressful, exhausting work trip. So last weekend, I was not able to do an episode. It feels good to be back in the studio, not only doing the podcast, but also just working on some new beats to push out. Coming back from this trip, I feel motivated as ever. I'm ready to go in 2022. Let's do this. In fact, probably in the next couple of weeks, I'll do an episode where I'm going to go through and list some of my 2022 goals, and we'll see if we can conquer them. Let's see. Also, I want to start booking some guests to talk about this. Like there's so many people out there that I want to pick their brains about, and for me, the ones that I want to talk to most are the type beat producers that you're seeing grow like crazy, but they're kind of super quiet online. I want to pick their brains and figure out, all right, how are you doing this? So look for that. That's something I'm going to look into this week as far as booking guests and stuff like that. But as far as topics for today, what I want to talk about is one, I was going to do my Black Friday sales recap. I know leading up to this, I talked a lot about the planning and the execution, so I'm just going to do a quick recap on how things netted out. Some other things, some more YouTube talk. So I don't know if you've been paying attention this week, but DJ Payne One and Mike Trampy put out a video where they interviewed Buddha Vibes and talked about how YouTube, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, started demonetizing his channel. So new concerns are arising on the YouTube front. So we'll talk about that. And then also another interesting video that came out this week was from my man, Luke Frapprez. God bless this guy, man. He does so much as far as just throwing himself into research and investing in like promotion and stuff like that, and then reporting back out on it. But he did a video on SEO organic marketing, where he actually hired an outside company, like a real corporate company, to see if they could help grow his channel. So I wanted to go over kind of like the highlights of that video and also give my take as well. But anyway, let me get a sip of coffee and then we'll get into this. All right, so as far as the Black Friday sale, if I'm being totally upfront, it was not as successful as I would hope it to be. But for me, it's encouraging me more to try to figure this thing out and keep trying and get better at it. But here's kind of the total stats of where I landed. So when I started this whole thing, my email list was at 362 contacts. So that's important to note when you start hearing the stats coming up. But originally, I think the Saturday before Black Friday, I sent out a teaser email that was super short. It was just one line of copy that said something like, "Hey, big sale coming next week, plus a free gift is coming." And the free gift was obviously going to be my beat pack. So I kept it very generic, kind of wanted to be it more of a tease. So out of 362 contacts, I had 10 opens and only one click-through to my site. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's where I'm at right now. And then, so that was the Saturday before Black Friday. And then on the Tuesday before Black Friday, I sent out another email talking about now's, you know, come in now. Now's time to get 50% off all beats on my website. So this was part of my my message. On that one, out of 362, I got 17 opens and only one click through. And then, as promised, on Black Friday, I did a giveaway where I gave away a Midnight Vibes beat pack, which was like five of my beats that were like synth pop focused. So I tried to give it a theme, and I just gave them away free. I packaged it up nicely, made it look all nice and cool, like it, you know, it was a real product, and sent out the email to my list. On that one, I got 12 opens, one click through, and then one unsubscribe. And that's something that hurts, but I think it's something you just got to get used to when you're getting into this email marketing game, is that you're going to get new leads, but you're also going to get people jumping off your list as well. You just got to get used to it. It's almost like, you know, when you're trying to talk to girls and stuff like that, there's going to be some that like you, some that don't, and you just have to keep it moving. So anyway, after that, at that point I had, you know, Black Friday had come and gone. I had pushed out, you know, all my emails. Everyone should have been aware that there was a 50% off sale on all my beats, as well as the free beat pack that they could get. So on 12/2, I did one more. This was like a week after Black Friday. I did one more push that of, hey, just a reminder, get 50% off all my beats. And I also made sure I put in instructions to make sure that they understood how to apply the coupon code. So gave a little further instruction on that. On that reminder email, I got 16 opens, one click through, and then two unsubscribes. So at that point, people are like, all right, come on, leave me alone here. So, and then one other thing I did want to do, which I did not do, and I'll be honest, it's just because I was so damn exhausted from my work trip. But it would have been yesterday. I wanted to send one final email on the last day saying, hey, don't forget to, this is your last chance. I didn't, but you know, that's next go around. I probably definitely will. But overall results. All right, let's hear what we got. Overall results for sales was one sale, one $25 MP3 lease. And the kicker was they didn't even use the 50% off promo code. So I don't know if that's on me. I wonder if people didn't understand how to use it. So maybe that's a lesson for next time, to be crystal clear on, hey, if you want to get 50% off, here's exactly how you apply the code. So one sale, some positive things though, for my email list, I got 8 new subscribers, so that's pretty damn good growth for an email list if I'm not spending any money. That's just from sending out emails organically. I did, however, lose 3 subscribers from pushing out the emails frequently. But this is something where I'm almost like, I got to get comfortable with that happening. You know, it's like the more I learn about this email marketing, it's the email list never stays static. Like you're never going to find, you know, a wave of audience at a certain time that is always going to hang with you. It's ever changing. There's new people coming in. There's people leaving. And you just got to find that sweet spot of people that are at that point of their journey where they are ready to buy beats. It's scary to think about because, like, I know once you get a, you know, one YouTube subscriber or one email, it's like you want to keep them, hang on to them forever. But I don't think that's how it works. Like, if you're a independent artist, let's say, you know, you're 18, you get a lot of, you know, a lot of angst in you. You want to get your feelings out. You want to rap. You want to tell the world how, you know, how you're feeling. You know, so from 18 to 22, you're going to be all fired up and motivated to put out an album. And so that's kind of like the hot spot in the lifespan of that customer. But when that person hits, you know, 23, 24, 25, they're probably going to be like, all right, I've said everything I had to say as far as rapping. I'm moving on. I'm going to, you know, maybe I settle down, get married, get a job. And honestly, as I think about this, that's exactly what happened to me when I was in my early 20s. You know, I was 100% in on trying to be a rapper. And eventually, you know, things don't work out the way you thought they were going to be. And I met my wife and I'm just like, you know what? I've said everything I had to say as far as rapping. And I ended up transitioning into being a producer, which feels like a way better fit for me. So that's the scary thing about all this. When you get a lead, there's like a timeline, a lifespan on that lead where you got to, warm them up, try to cash in on, you know, their opportunity and, you know, they're part of their journey where they're willing to buy beats. And then at some point you just have to come to the realization that they're going to move on at some point, which it's just the natural life cycle, I think, of a customer journey. So anyway, that was a little tangent, but, so overall, yes, sales, disappointing, one MP3 lease, for $25. Email list, after you do the math, that was 8 subscribers added, 3 lost. So that was 5 new people added to my email list. When you think about it, this was all free promotion. I didn't have to spend a penny. So just through doing some a little extra work on my end, I was able to get 1 more sale and 5 more email contacts. So to me, I think it was worth it. And it definitely, I'm definitely going to be disciplined this year and do a spring, summer, and winter sales again. I got to figure out what offer I want to put up at that time, but I'm going to keep trying to get better at it and try to figure it out, learn my lessons from this go around, and see how it goes next time. All right, let me do a quick time check. Okay, we're about 12 minutes in. I'm always worried if I'm going to have enough content, but I think stuff to talk about. I think we'll get there with this one. So, next topic I wanted to talk about is more YouTube concerns for beat makers. In YouTube, man, like if you've been listening to my episodes, like YouTube is my main platform that I'm investing my time in as well as my money in. So whenever I see these concerns, it's always a big oh shit moment, you know, listen in, see what's going on. But anyway, DJ Payne One and Mike Trampy interviewed Buddha Vibes Beats, which is a type beat producer online. I think I looked it up. He has over 100K subs. And actually, he was saying that he's like, you know, his channel just reached 100K subs and it was a big milestone for him. And up until that point, he was monetizing off his type beats. So in the past, when I heard about people monetizing off their type beats, it was always kind of like, it was, you know, a little change here and there, but nothing that you could really count on. But if you listen to the interview, it sounded like he was making some decent money from it. And then when he hit that milestone of 100K, I'm not sure if YouTube kind of zoned in on his channel after that, but out of nowhere, he got kicked out of like the ad spend, or not ad spend program, but the monetization program, and it just like disappeared from his channel. So for me, or when I saw this, I was kind of like, okay, damn, this is interesting, but at the same time where I'm at in my producer journey, I'm still a long way from monetizing on my beat videos, so it wasn't as big of a concern, but still I wanted to listen in and see, you know, what's going on there, because eventually, you know, I'm working towards that. I want to hit that point where I'll start making some money on my beats just for posting them to my channel. Anyway, when they started talking about it and got down to kind of the root of the issue, it sounded like it was in his descriptions, he was like keyword stuffing in his descriptions. And it, so, you know, I'll go over my description, but I think for most people, like if it's a normal non, you know, beat selling channel, when you click on the description and it'll be like, hey, this video is going to be about, you know, how to groom dogs and how the best way to make their coat shine and blah, blah, blah. So it's like paragraph format where it talks about the video as like normally you would talk to a human. Well, it sounded like what Buddha Vibes was doing was just dropping in keywords, you know, like tag keywords that he would put in his tags into his description. So it would, you know, if someone wasn't aware of what selling beats online was and looking for beats on YouTube, they'd, if it's some random person going in there, they'd kind of be like, what is this? Because it would just be like, you know, trap beats, hard trap beats, just keywords listed off. And so when he finally got a hold of YouTube, they were saying that some of the keywords that he was putting in his description were irrelevant to what his video content was. He said after he sent off about like 10 to 12 different emails, he finally got a hold of the right person and was able to fix it. And he's monetizing on his videos again. But it sounded like he said overall his views are down, which is a little concerning. So for me, when I saw this video, my first reaction was, shit, I didn't know about this keyword stuffing thing. Should I have been doing this the whole time? But it looks like, you know, either way, I don't want to really start doing it now because it looks like it's going to cause some issues in the future. Mike Trampy on the video chimed in and said, you know, he encourages people to include a proper description because this is what YouTube wants. Like you kind of, when you're on YouTube, you kind of got to play by their rules. One other thing I will mention in that, Robin Wesley in his Constant Conversion Strategy course, he recommends that also. So I thought that was interesting, but I am just going to go on my YouTube channel real quick and just tell you how I have my description laid out. And again, mine's probably not the one to go off of, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. And really, I stole mine from another producer. I saw another producer with about 20,000 subs, and his beat descriptions just look good. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to steal that. So anyway, mine is, you know, title, obviously, artist, you know, pop type beat, beat title. And then in every beat I put up, I always have beats for artists and songwriters, as well as every video I include a tag that says beats for artists and songwriters. And for me, this is just trying to find the singers out there that are looking for beats on YouTube. So when I get to my description, it's pretty much a copy and paste. Like if I'm looking at one right now, it says Olivia Rodrigo, sad pop type beat. And then you got the little divider, Little Lies, which is the name of the beat. And then the divider, beats for artists and songwriters. So, and then it goes on to purchase download link, free pop beat pack link, subscribe link, website link, email. And then I also have a link for, I call it add this to your beats to write to Spotify playlist link. And then I go into, you know, BPM, key of song, the chapters. So if the best way to do it is to do a long, you know, description that sounds like an actual human talking to somebody, I'm not really doing that right now. So, you know, that might be something to think about. I mean, I definitely have considered that in the past, but I think the fear is you don't want them to miss out on that. If they hear the beat, they're ready to go now, you don't want them to miss out on that purchase download link. So that's like always the first thing I hit them with. But I don't know. Maybe it's worth adding in a little more description up top if that's going to make YouTube happy. Maybe I'll try it out on some videos. I'm still not 100% convinced that that's the way to go. I still fear if someone knows what they're doing, they're online looking for beats, and you don't have that instant download link, you might be missing out. So this is all trial and error. One big trial and error game trying to figure this thing out. But anyway, so YouTube, you know, it's kind of a tricky wicket. It's simply put, it's not built for people trying to sell beats online. It's think outside in your normal life how you use YouTube. You know, for me, I suck as a handyman. So for like home improvement projects or fixing my car, I'm always going to YouTube for information and stuff like that on how to fix stuff. So that's what YouTube would prefer, that how you use their site, or for entertainment, not necessarily for selling beats online. So they're not really, you know, treating us. They're not really welcoming us to their platform. We're kind of squatting. We're loitering on their platform. So when they do pay attention, you know, I think they'll try to stop you a little bit. But the thing is, like, they're so big, they can only control so much of what's going on their platform. They could only police so much. Like, people selling beats on their platform is probably the least of their worries. Now, with that said, I wish there was a way, and this is my idea if this ever comes to fruition, mark it here, but I wish there was a way that BeatStars could partner with Google and YouTube and have a platform that, you know, was built for selling beats online, because there is such a huge market out there on YouTube, where they could probably make a ton of money off this if they partnered with like a BeatStars or something like that. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure what it would be. Maybe it's, you know, a sub YouTube channel. If someone goes on YouTube and they see that they're searching for beats or music online to lease, that they would send them to a, you know, a sub YouTube channel that would make it a positive experience for them to, you know, check out the beat and then eventually lease it if they want. Like, if YouTube did that and they're like, all right, we're going to do this, but we're going to take 10% of every sale, shit, take it. I would totally be down for that. But, you know, right now, this is just me throwing out ideas. Maybe that's something that comes to fruition in the future. But we'll see how that goes. And then as I was writing my show notes, so as I'm going through this, you know, I started thinking about other YouTube issues I'm having. So for me, and I know this is probably directly because of I post like once a week, and that's something I'm going to work on in 2022. My goal is to push the limit even further and try to get more videos up. But when you're only posting once a week, it's hard to grow organically. Like, you grow a little bit, but it's really at like a snail's pace. So for most of my growth, if I'm going to be straightforward, it's been from advertising, doing YouTube ads. Like, my subscriber count goes up pretty well when I have ads on. My views definitely go up. But even my views on my videos where I don't have any ads running on, those views go up as well. And then I notice, like, as soon as I shut off the promotion it's like, boom, it drops back down to, you know, it slows down about 80% as far as growth. So at this time, like at this stage where I'm at, you know, at about 3K subs, I'm still promoting. I'm hoping I eventually could hit, you know, a number, like if I get to 20K, 30K, where I could shut off the ads and just let it grow organically. But right now, the ads seem to be the only thing that's working for me, so I'm just going to keep going with what is working. But with that said, it's kind of a two-way street here with advertising on YouTube. Because the one thing that it does when you're finding new leads and fans that aren't, you know, loyal to you, they are quicker to jump off your video. And so like if you just send something out organically, you know, you may get your 50 people that love you and they'll actually watch your video for a minute and a half or so. And that's decent watch time for me, at least for a Typebeat video. But when you get new people that are just discovering you, they may click on it, you know, for 20 seconds and be like, okay, yeah, no, that's not what I'm looking for. And so it like kills your watch time. So that's the two-way street with YouTube advertising. Yes, it will get you views. Yes, it will get you subs, which you hope you could turn into, you know, longtime loyal fans. But off the bat, it's going to kill your watch time and YouTube is going to stop recommending that video because your watch time will go down. So it's almost like what I try to do is if I do have a video that I put out and it's getting decent, you know, organic views, I don't touch that. I'm like, I'm just going to let that one go off on its own and see how it does. It's more the videos that, and it sounds weird to say, but like I've done this, I do a lot of Madison Beer type beats. So if I do a Madison Beer type beats and it's ranked number one in my YouTube analytics and it's doing well as far as organic views, I'll let that thing go on its own. I'm not touching it because it's getting good watch time. But if I do another Madison Beer type beat and it's not ranking it so well and it's getting just okay views, I'll go ahead and advertise that one to try to get new leads, you know, with the hope that they would eventually come back to my channel and discover the other videos that are well doing well organically. So I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out. It's YouTube in itself is just a tricky thing to figure out. The only thing that seems to work well is posting every day, which I still haven't, I don't know if I'll ever figure out how to do that. I'm going to try to post more often, but the guys that can post every day for a long period of time, I think those are the ones that, you know, grow organically and have the most success. But anyway, it's all to figure out. We'll figure this thing out. Let's see. So this kind of is a good transition to the next topic. So with all that said, it's like, all right, so what's the best way to spend my money as a, you know, beat seller? Is it YouTube? Is it Facebook? Is it Google search? Like there's so many ways you could go with, you know, spending your money on ads and how you do it. This next one is next topic I want to talk about is Loop for Prez. Did a video on SEO search and SEO organic marketing. And so this is one avenue that I did check out for a little bit, more on the paid SEO search. So this would be like just straight up Google web page. If someone types in there looking for pop beats, you would pay to have your website show up at the top of that search. So if you type in anything, you know, housekeeping in, you know, my area, it's going to show you first, you know, probably about like three ads of websites that paid to be at the top of that search. and then it'll start showing you the organic websites that are the highest ranking. So I dabbled in this a little bit, and the one thing I can say, there goes a toilet flushing. I don't know if you can hear it, but the one thing I could say is it is super ass expensive. You know, on YouTube, when you advertise your videos, you can get views, you know, anywhere from like 1 to 5 cents per view. When you do Google search advertising, it was crazy expensive. It was, I would say, if you're lucky, at the lowest point, you're getting, you know, one view for like 55 cents. But most of them really were coming in around 70 cents to a dollar. And this is for me doing pop beats. Thank God that finally shut off. But anyway, so even for pop beats, it was like 70 cents to a dollar per view just to have someone to go to your website, which is crazy expensive because all this is a numbers game. It's all a traffic game. So if you could only afford 100 views a month, you know, it'll help a little bit. Like that is pure traffic that is looking just for your beats or your kind of beats. But being that this is a numbers game, that's hard to do or hard to expense every month. And so even I noticed with even like with like pop beats, I'm like, okay, I'm a niche guy. I should be able to get a low cost on it. But the thing I noticed, like all the top guys, they not only like cover the trap beats, they cover the pop beats. Like Wishmaster Beats, I'm sure you guys have, if you pay attention into the producer community, I'm sure you've probably seen him interviewed and seen how successful he is. So he kind of has, even for pop beats, like he's got a headlock on that Google search, which I was impressed by. I'm like, damn, he must be, you know, doing this stuff big time. So shout out to him. But eventually, once I get my ball rolling, this is something I want to go back to and try to figure out. So anyway, small tangent there, but just want to give you my experience with Google search. But Luke Perprez did a video where he mentioned, you know, he is a big Google search guy as far as running ads on there and driving traffic to his website. But he did mention, you know, it feels like once you stop the ads, the traffic stops, which is probably, you know, everyone's concern here. So he was trying to figure out a way, how can I rank organically where I don't have to pay for ads, but just someone types in trap beats, and then his website pops up there at the top of the list. So this one is organic search. I've done a little paid search. I have not done organic search marketing. At least I haven't concentrated any efforts on it. But there's two ways that he kind of highlights on how to do it. And what he talks about is consistent with what I've heard from Russell Brunson. And you know, he wrote that Traffic Secrets book, as well as Robin Wesley. He talked about these as well in his training course. But one of them is blog posts. And this would be like you try to write blog posts on your website to, you know, capture people interested in, you know, what you're talking about, and then eventually get them to your site. So for me, if it was pop beats, maybe I write a, you know, a blog post of, you know, how online pop artists can, you know, get to the top of Spotify playlists, something like that. But from what I've learned from like the Russell Brunson books and stuff like that, like, you have to write an article that's relevant and longer than the guy that's next to you. He has some kind of like skyscraper building analogy, but he's like, what you want to do is find the guy that is ranking at the top of these blog post search. So if it's for the topic I was just talking about, you want to look at his article, you know, not copy the points, but like talk about the same kind of thing, but you want to make your article, you know, a little bit longer than his. And then that will get people going to your blog post over the other guy's blog post. So it sounds super competitive. I haven't done any of this yet. Not to say that I wouldn't do that in the future. The whole doing blog posts is, it's actually good content for your website. And it's all about that hub platform idea. If you can get artists to your website and, you know, make it a platform for them to hang out on and get knowledge on, that's all the better. One thing for any people that are just have BeatStars Pro pages, if you try to do blog posts on the BeatStars webpage, it doesn't help you with Google. This is another reason to try to get your own webpage. Any blogs that you write on BeatStars is just driving traffic to the BeatStars page. So anyway, just one note. So blog posts, okay, yeah, I could probably do that to help with the organic SEO. And then this the second thing that they talk about is backlinks. And this is where, honestly, I wouldn't even know where to start with this. And this is probably why Luke, you know, went to hire a company. But backlinks are essentially like popular websites in your genre will include your website link on their page. And by doing that, if you get to enough important websites and enough pages that include your website link, Google shoots you up the search rankings. But for me, I'm like, I wouldn't even know where to start on this. Like, what would be a relevant web page? BeatStars, maybe. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? Just reach out to Abe Bashton and say, hey, will you put my website link on your on the BeatStars page? Like, how do you start that conversation? So, or like what? Like billboard.com? You know, go to them and be like, hey, will you put my my little beat selling page website on your page? You know, I'm sure those emails will get ignored. So this is probably why Luke reached out to a third-party company to try to figure this thing out. But he was saying, you know, from what he learned, what they did is, one, they rearranged his website to make it fit how Google wants your websites to be. And this sounds very familiar to me. I think when I did build my website, I tried to keep it in line with kind of those Google guidelines and how they want your website laid out. I should probably do an audit and go back and look at it and make sure it's still relevant for 2021 going into 2022. But the second was this organic company wrote a ton of blog posts for them, as well as they were able to secure backlink locations for them on websites. His knock was on this, and I think he said he paid like $1,500 a month for 6 months straight to try to see if this would increase his organic search. And I think he was saying I'd have to go back and look at the videos. It may have been his views and impressions went up a bit, but he was like, not enough to justify $1,500 a month. And even when he kind of figured out what they were doing, he's like, I could do a lot of this stuff on my own. So blog posts, he said, the way they were written, he didn't really like it. He was like, I could do this. The backlinks, he was saying they did get his website as a backlink on other sites, but they weren't like, you know, highly relevant sites or popular sites, so it really didn't help out that much. So overall, you know, where he kind of left it in his video is he was going to try to do it on his own. He was going to, you know, either work with some people on Fiverr to write blog posts or write them on his own. And then as well as the backlinks, I think he said he was going to try to find other people on Fiverr to figure out how to get his links on there at you know, a fraction of the price. So, you know, this is, for me, this feels like it would be the toughest in all this beat selling world and ways you can advertise and put yourself out there. You know, there's like YouTube ads, Facebook ads, Instagram, Google search, like for all, everything that goes into it, I feel like the organic SEO is probably the biggest challenge and the hardest to figure out. For me personally, like I could do the blog posts, the backlinks seems like way too hard. And then again, this may be, I always talk about this, but I chalk this up to something. This is advice, information I am not ready to receive yet. Like I have too many things going on right now that I'm trying to figure out. If I try to drop everything and say, okay, I'm going to figure out organic SEO, I'm going to dedicate time to blog posts as well as figuring out backlinks, like my beat production would just fall off. This podcast would probably have to go away, which I'm actually enjoying this podcast. It's good for me each week just to get my thoughts out. I'm not pushing this thing. I'm just letting it grow organically, which is kind of nice. My beat channel is the one that I, you know, kind of push and promote as much as I can. I try to make it the best presentation I can for my fan base. For this thing, I'm just putting it out because it's fun to do. But anyway, so as of right now, I am not ready to take on organic SEO. Paid SEO, I'm not ready at this time as far as a investment to take that on, but not to say these aren't things I wouldn't do in the future. And actually the blog posts, maybe 2022, I'll jump on this. That one's not a bad idea. I like the idea of making my website a hub for artists, and I think that would definitely help out. But anyway, that is all I have for this episode. Just want to say it's good to be back. It's good to be back in my studio. It's good to be back making beats. It's good to be back doing this podcast. I'm going to start look at booking some guests so I can interview some people. Like I said, I'm dying to pick some brains of some of these people that we see on YouTube in this producer space. So I'll look to do that. And then also just overall, I am fired up for 2022. I am in a better spot than I was at the start of 2021. Better launch pad to grow. So I'm looking forward to growing in 2022, and I'm going to set some goals and see if we could hit them. But all right, you have a good day. I will talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.